Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today, too. Thanks for asking. And thank you all for tuning in. So today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk more about apotheosis and the stages of human development from material to divine. Listen as we compare the metamorphosis of a butterfly to the growth of the mortal to immortal self, the journey from boy to king. Listen as we discuss levels of consciousness and degrees of awareness associated with modes of thinking. As Mary Baker Eddy said, until belief becomes faith, and faith becomes a spiritual understanding, human thought has little relation to the actual or divine. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and let go of material moorings. Swami, the title of today's show is Taking Steps in Spiritual Understanding. So there's actually a procedure and a process for spiritual understanding?
Yeah, we've consistently talked about apotheosis, which is the process of the human becoming divine. And we've represented it as the metamorphosis of a butterfly. Butterflies aren't born butterflies, but they're born caterpillars. Caterpillars are insects in the larvae state. They do nothing but indulge. So in our larvae state of the human experience, we're careless, we're emotional, we're indulgent, we're excitable. And then the caterpillar goes into a chrysalis. And the chrysalis phase of development is kind of like when we're moving from emotion to human intelligence, where we're careful, we're ambitious, but we're abstaining from the things that we were craving in the larvae state. And then from the chrysalis, the caterpillar emerges as the butterfly. And of course, the butterfly has options that the caterpillar doesn't. The butterfly, if it wants, it can crawl around on the ground, but if it wants, it can fly. It can access another medium, another dimension of reality, and navigate through it, utilize it as a resource of energy. The characteristics of the human in the adult state is that they're carefree, they're wise, they're liberated, and they're enthusiastic. So what we're trying to plot out here is this process of apotheosis and trying to make a corresponding relationship between levels of consciousness and degrees of awareness. And also try and substantiate everything that we're saying based on some of the new thoughts that we have been introducing into our teaching here. What becomes of the utmost importance is this transition from material values and material concepts and beliefs into this stage of spiritual understanding.
So you were talking about letting go of material moorings, and I like that word mooring because it's moorings of what keeps you attached. So to get the light in our soul and let go of material moorings, what does that look like when we do that?
Right. Well, I think the first order of business is here is that we have to start to understand this concept of rebirth, that we really have to move from being individualized from a material sense of who we are and letting go of our attachment to that. And then at the same time, we have to latch on to this spiritual sense of who we are. The physics of spirituality is like attracts like, because in our original experience, where we are born into this physical mortal body, we are pretty much instinctual. We're preconditioned to look for food, mother, approval, for validation. And so in order for us to undergo what was called the hero's journey, which began with the separation of the boy from mother, we really have to separate from our material moorings, from our belief that we are a physical body. But at the same time, we have to grasp onto this invisible, intangible divine presence, and then begin to internalize that as what you are now going to use as your source of validation.
Swami, I'm wondering if you can talk to us more about the levels of consciousness and modes of thinking.
Yeah, this is kind of like our way of measuring our spiritual advancement. And I really like what Mary Baker Eddy says in Science and Health on page 297, and it starts in line 20. Faith is higher and more spiritual than belief. It is a chrysalis state of human thought in which spiritual evidence contradicting the testimony of material sense begins to appear. The truth, the ever-present, is becoming understood. Human thoughts have their degrees of comparison. Some thoughts are better than others. What we're talking about here is kind of like as we are starting to advance. Like initially, one of the things that we would always say is that belief is what gives thought the power of intention. And if you're working with positive thinking or any type of mental manipulation, any means, then belief becomes, I want to say, the stop that you get off at. But like she was saying here, that belief in truth is better than belief in error, that this belief in truth, this divine presence, this spiritual principle of this universe, belief in the one power of this universe, as we start to evolve and advance in that, then we begin to demonstrate the principle. And we start to see signs of that. In fact, in the Bible, that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. And so there's a certain element of tangibility to faith, that you're actually proving a principle here. Until eventually you start to move out of faith into what she calls understanding. And so when we're going from unconscious awareness to self-conscious awareness to super-conscious awareness, that we can actually start to expect to experience changes in our external environment and also in our inner levels of consciousness and degrees of awareness.
So how do you make those changes in consciousness? What has to be done?
Well, the first order of business is we have to separate from matter. We have to give up our belief that we are a mortal, finite creature. And at the same time, we have to understand that we are the expression of an indestructible principle. That's where it kind of starts. And the Bible calls this being reborn, that you're kind of giving up your belief in matter and validating yourself with things visible and tangible. And maybe in the process of this, the chrysalis stage, we're moving from things visible and tangible to things invisible but tangible. So we're moving from matter to thoughts. If you're diligent with this and you understand that human thinking doesn't have the unction that divine knowing does, then you start to see that you're not getting much of a demonstration. So it's kind of like in the Bible, where there's this one miracle that the apostles weren't able to perform, and Jesus came along and he performed it. When the apostles asked him, why were we unable to perform this particular miracle? Jesus said that they were of little faith. So until we can kind of build up our faith stores, and we start to move out of this relationship between belief and thought, and we start to move into the demonstration of a principle of this divine law, which is present right here, then we move from unconscious awareness to self-conscious awareness. And then as we start to get into this higher realm of what Mary Baker Eddy calls understanding, is what we in yoga call super conscious awareness. That now you are actually at the level where you realize that God is your mind. The life of God is really the light of man.
Just to repeat what you had said earlier, the statement by Mary Baker Eddy, and that was, a belief in truth is better than a belief in error, but no mortal testimony is founded on the divine rock. So the mortal testimony, that would be what we receive from our five senses. Would that be correct?
Right. The mortal testimony is what's coming in through our five senses.
What is the divine rock?
The divine rock is the truth of being. In the Bible, it said that Jesus spoke with authority. That when we're attuned to this divine presence, this, they called it the Word of God. When we find that place where our thought is the same as this divine idea, then we too will speak with authority because we're backed by this divine presence. We're backed by divine law, which is really the only creative power of this universe. It's the only self-existent power of this universe. And so by us attuning our thought with this Word of God is how we find dominion in the external experience.
Well, it's interesting because I was just rereading the last line of the quote that we have for her, and it says, human thought has little relation to the actual or divine. So we have to change a human thought to a spiritual or divine thought.
Right. We have to forsake all human thinking for this divine knowing. And in this process of where we're making our mind now an avenue of awareness for this one divine mind, until we can actually let it take over the scientific government of our body, then we are no longer thinking humanly. We are no longer a human thinking about divine presence, but we are literally divine presence thinking out from itself.
Well, I think we have to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness.
Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, I mean, getting back to consciousness, I see that we have some works here by Herb Fitch, and maybe this would be a good time to go over that.
Yeah, Herb Fitch did a healing class in 1990, and this quote that we have is from Class 6B. You have to open your consciousness to it. You are the Christ, but you are asleep to the Christ. And when you receive the Christ, you are awake to the Christ. And when you are awake to the fact that you are truly the living Son of the living God with all the privileges thereunto, it's all laid out for you. All we have to do is to prune out all those qualities that are unlike the Christ in order to become aware of what is Christ. To accept what we are through faith, though possibly it's more than faith at this point, because we can see some of the miracles, and that's not faith anymore. You have proven something. It's deeper than faith. It's faith proven, faith established as fact. So here Herb Fitch is kind of reiterating what Mary Baker Eddy had said about faith, that you're really starting to demonstrate this principle, this law. And so you're moving out of this blind belief, and now you're moving into this realm of faith, which is very different than just belief, because it's demonstrable.
So it says, you have proven something, it's deeper than faith. What is it that he's talking about? What's being proven?
Well, we're proving divine presence, that we're actually proving the oneness of this one divine life that is the self-existent power behind creation. And the thing about it is that it's absolute goodness, it's absolute love, it's absolute perfection. So you can't be conscious of it and have discord and sickness and disease appearing in your experience. And so that's one of the things that we're starting to learn, is that this is a demonstrable principle. But we need to be conscious of it in order to be able to activate it in our experience.
So when he's talking about pruning out all the qualities that are unlike the Christ, what are the qualities that are of the Christ?
The thing that I usually use is what the Bible calls the fruits of the Spirit, which would be things like peace, love, joy, goodness, kindness, faithfulness.
So I want to talk to you more about awakening to the Christ, and what does it mean to have this rebirth?
Yeah, this rebirth. I have something here that Herb Fitch had talked about in that same healing seminar in 6B. The quote is, "But your rebirth will be when you accept Christ within and you become the divine light of God." We can't draw from fear and limitation and expect to become truth and wholeness. That we have to kind of, the Bible called it, create this new covenant. We have to separate from our attachment to the belief in matter. And at the same time, we must attach ourselves to this divine presence, this invisible, intangible principle of this universe. And then we need to internalize it. And then to actually start to demonstrate it, you must rely on it radically. For some of us, that's a big stretch because we're so accustomed to being attached to the testimony of our five senses. And so we're moving out of material beliefs and material concepts and a belief in matter. And now we're moving into this understanding that what is seemingly invisible and intangible is really the only substance of this universe. It is the only thing that is real. But we must have attention for it, and we must have fidelity to it. And that's why they call it a rebirth. Because you're moving from being dependent upon what's visible and tangible and what's invisible but tangible. And you're now relying totally upon what is invisible and intangible.
Well, we have another quote here by Joel Goldsmith, and it says, "In the degree that we become more and more aware that spirit is the only power and that we do not have a separate life or a consciousness of our own, but that God constitutes our being." And again, like I said, it's from Joel Goldsmith. So that sounds like the rebirth right there.
Right. And I think that's what we're talking about is this new covenant, you know, or the Bible called it repent. We need to think differently. And we need to know that we're being individualized from this divine presence and that we're not a separate life.
Well, it sounds like in the beginning where he says that we become more and more aware that spirit is the only power. So it sounds like there's actually, that there are steps involved, so different levels of awareness.
Yeah, I think it can happen gradually as we start to loosen our grip on our belief in matter. You know, as the outside world begins to fail us, and we start to see that we can only go so far with a belief in matter, that you're able to survive, but there's no spiritual growth. And at some point, we want to repent. We want to start to think differently. And having the leadership or the understanding that comes from these scriptures, you know, this union with the divine, we have to understand that we're trying to join with something that doesn't report in our five sense mind, which most of us don't think exists. And when we start out and we start with belief, that you believe in God. But just a belief in God is not a demonstrable principle, is what we're starting to learn. You need to have this next layer, this next stage in your unfolding of your understanding. In the process of doing that, we start to see that what is invisible and what is intangible is reliable. And as you start to demonstrate that and you start to prove that for yourself, then you're no longer just believing in something. It's not belief without truth, but now you're starting to develop a certain degree of trust without reservation, until eventually you start to see that it is the source of all life.
And well, speaking of truth, we have a quote here from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 272, line 3, and that says, "The spiritual sense of truth must be gained before truth can be understood. This sense is assimilated only as we were honest, unselfish, loving, and meek." So, Ronnie, maybe you could break that down for us.
Yeah, see, we don't just academically, intellectually make these declarations. That we really have to create a hospitable internal environment to invite this divine presence, this truth of being into our consciousness. And so we can't be in fear. We can't be in anger. We can't be confused or disturbed and still be in the presence of this truth. And so something, in order for us to connect to this divine presence, we must know ourselves in the way that we are known by it. We assume this spiritual identity, which means that we have to move beyond the testimony of our five senses, relying on the information that's coming in on a sense material level, and we have to cultivate our spiritual senses. And our spiritual senses, they're able to recognize the presence of this truth. And the reason is because material sense works on duality, works on a belief in two powers, and spiritual sense works on the belief in the one power, the absolute, this one divine life. So they're very different. As we're starting to learn to think differently and give up this double-mindedness for this single-mindedness, it really changes how we're perceiving what's before us.
And so when we do that, is that part of the growth of going from mortal to the immortal self, like we had mentioned in the beginning summary?
Yeah, it's kind of like the hero's journey, the separation, the journey, and the return. Typically, this process is always laid out in three phases. In Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures on page 269, lines 14 to 16, Mary Baker Eddy says, "Metaphysics resolves things into thoughts and exchanges the objects of sense for the ideas of soul." That there's this whole internal metamorphosis of our thinking process that starts to happen as we forsake our human modes of thinking for this divine knowing. That divine mind actually does and makes all of these conversions for us. It's kind of like years ago, you couldn't open a PDF file with Word, Microsoft Word. It just wouldn't open. And so what they did was they upgraded Word so that now it can convert a PDF file into a Word document. And so this is kind of like what starts to happen for us as we start to come out of mortal thought and we start to familiarize ourselves with divine mind and the workings of how divine mind speaks to us. The Word of God speaks to us. And this is what was oftentimes referred to as the Christ, which is the interpreter. It is what makes divine presence intelligible to the human consciousness.
And again, to reiterate that quote from Herb Fitch saying, "Your rebirth will be when you accept Christ within." And I think that's an important element right there. We have to have this knowing, this accepting and this knowing for any change in consciousness to take place.
Right. And he also goes further on in that same class where he says, "It's a power to maintain the perfection of God's universe." It's not really a power that we use to enhance our human experience. All we're really doing is we're attuning ourselves to the perfection of being. It's more of a revelation that we're awakening to the simple fact that it is our thoughts that are preventing us from seeing this truth of being. And as we forsake all of our human thinking for this divine knowing, then we're thinking differently, which now affects the external experience.
Well, I think we have to actually start closing down our program for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. And once you're there on the homepage, you'll see a fading banner. And when you see that fading banner come up with Blog Talk Radio Show, you can click that on and you can have access to all of the shows that we've ever done. And so with that, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I certainly would like to encourage everybody to take their steps into understanding themselves spiritually and enjoy the benefits that come with this revelation. And with that, namaste.
Thank you for listening to The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.